The Apostle Peter instructed the early church elders and overseers how to lead. I have been thinking about where we have been over these last few weeks as a church. I can't seem to get yet into the book of Galatians. I was really putting pressure on myself this week, and I actually printed off a bulletin and had a sermon title in there from the book of Galatians, which I do plan to get to. Just so you're wondering, I will get there. But I was thinking about, as a church, and some of the things that we're faced with right now, sudden things, and we have a meeting following the service, and I encourage, if you can stay for the half an hour, whether you're a member or not a member, we want you to be there. God has you here today, and I believe perhaps you need to be in that meeting. And it's just going to be an informational meeting. It's going to be some additional things that I'd share. Then I get a nice little handout that will give you sort of an overview of where we've been and what we're doing. Actually, it's, yours is two-sided, that I'll give to you in the sanctuary. I'm sorry, in the fellowship hall. But Peter says this. He says, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly." Get that, willingly, voluntarily. "Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, who is Jesus Christ, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." There is a great benefit to faithfully serving the Lord. A lot of people have lost their first love. Jesus talks about that. You can leave your first love. You can stop loving Jesus. You may have loved him at another time in your life better than you love him now. There's no reason why today can't be your opportunity to come back and love him once again. Love him well. Just because you'll never find a friend other than Jesus who will love you the way he loved you. But as I've been seeking the Lord over the last several days on behalf of the needs of our church and with the luncheon meeting following the service, I do think it's important to look at a portion of Scripture that will help prepare us for the days to come. As the needs come up here in this church, we want to know how to respond through the Holy Spirit's enabling and his guidance. We need to oftentimes be thinking, preparing for changes, and I'll be addressing some of those changes that are coming. You know, I remember as a kid, and perhaps you were the same way. You remember the words as you were ready to launch in a running race? What were those three words? Ready? You all know it. You don't need me. Ready, set, go. And then you hear someone say, "He cheated." You know, he got out ahead. Kids are just perceptive of cheaters. They just know when something's not right, right? In junior high, I enjoyed the challenge of running the 50-yard dash in my gym class. I don't know how, I just like always seemed to like this particular part of the year. We'd be out in the field. And I learned early the key to getting a good time was being ready and being in position. You know, whistle blows and the guy's gone, right? And you're like, "Hey, you know, you weren't ready," right? But I remember the day, it was like yesterday. I had blue shorts, white t-shirt. Just enjoying the moment here. Everybody wore blue shorts and a t-shirt then. Okay, but I timed out, I believe, at 6.2 seconds in the 50-yard dash. I mean, I thought I won gold. I mean, I heard cheers, applause. I mean, there was gold medals being passed out. But I remember that feeling of like, I got something to talk about. You know, some kids run really fast and some kids don't run as fast. And so I felt like I was scoring a better than I even thought. And so then I'd like to go up against and see if I could beat the faster kids. Anyway, so I just remember this being my moment. Okay. It's my moment. And, you know, I think part of the effectiveness for the Christian is to, with that same mentality of ready, set, go. And I talked calling this message ready, set, minister. There are times I think we're reluctant to serve the Lord for whatever reason. We don't feel worthy. We've got too much baggage. There might be even maybe some things just distracting us. We've got wonderful excuses. We got things competing with our time. We've got all types of things. And at the same time, I recognize that not everybody can do the work of ministry. And that is not to, this is not a burdensome message. I love what I shared earlier, not about the winning the race, but how Peter said to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. No matter what strength the Lord has given to me to do this work here in this ministry, it's by the grace of God. I may have a eager desire to serve this body, but I also know that I too am weak. I too need to be strengthened. I too need to be mindful that this is a body of believers. This is a body who can minister one to another. And if I can't always meet the needs, well, then I can trust God that He will. And I have seen that. One of the things that I heard from Susan was that she was amazed at how the body of Christ in this church came alongside of her. And you guys helped to transform this building and how things were provided for Susan. And so I want to talk about this idea that Peter points to. I just read to you from 1 Peter 5, the previous chapter. Peter really has this very strong reminder throughout his epistle about being ready. And I think that idea of being ready is just so vitally important. Because as Harry taught us this past week, Harry Sarah taught us, you don't know the day that you're going to see Jesus face to face. You just don't know. But Peter says it this way, and this is going to be up on the screen, and it's also on the back of your bulletin. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, you may see this underlined on the back of your bulletin. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. I could not get away from passages this week that talk about how the body of Christ ministers one to another. A healthy church is equipped with people within the body that knows how to minister one to another. There are so many times in our life that you will underestimate what you bring to the table when it comes to what God has put in you to minister effectively. I believe every believer is given a spiritual gift. I believe the scripture bears that out. I believe that it's clear even in this passage. As each one has received a gift, minister it one to another. The church is a living organism. We are made alive in Jesus Christ. We are His body. You are His representatives here on earth for those of us who are in Jesus Christ. There is something that happens in the life of the believer who understands that he's been given a gift, she has been given a gift to minister. Don't ever let anyone minimize the spiritual gift that God has put in you, because He's put it in you for the edification of His body. That's why when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's in one sense you're going to see, for the gifts that the Lord has put in you, were those gifts developed? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how weak you are. God has given you gifts. It doesn't matter how good you think you might be. It really matters that are you faithful with the gifts that God has given. You know, yesterday I was in my yard trying to troubleshoot my very limping swimming pool. it really is limping. And dirt, piles of it in great quantity, is starting to look very attractive. Dump truckfuls. Do you get what I'm saying? I've talked to my dad. He said, you know, remember Steve? I said, yeah, another Steve I know. He knows. He's who's with the Lord. He says, Steve filled in his pool. I said, oh, yeah. What's that guy's name who he used? My wife and family are like, okay, Dad's going to fill the pool in. No, I'm just kidding. But I heard the sirens going off yesterday. Can you imagine if you called the fire department and they say, yeah, we'll be over in an hour? We're busy right now. We can't come. You call the police and you need them to your house and they're like, yeah, I got to stop at the house first. You know, can you wait a few minutes? You know, our local law enforcement gets this idea of being ready. Ready, set, go. It's really the motto of our military. It's really the model of anybody who serves in public defense. And I really believe that the Church of the Living God needs sometimes to be reminded that within every believer is the opportunity to develop the gifts that God has given to you as the needs arise within the church to serve the Lord. That you have in your thinking, I'm a ready, set minister. I'm an able minister. I am not able because of how good I am. I am able because of the supply that Jesus has put in me through his Spirit. Don't ever underestimate that God is working in you, believer. You mean a lot to me. I love when I get to be with you guys and you get to, and you just don't even realize. Sometimes I don't even tell you what your conversation, because I know that your giftedness comes out, your sense of how do you edify, and maybe a word of an encouragement or just being a good listener. Ministry is one of those things that's sometimes hard to quantify, but we know when it's happening. We know when we see it in somebody else's life where they just demonstrated real love and care, and they gave me what I needed. They don't even realize. And that's why I think when you have a memorial service and someone's gone, it's like the magnitude of Harry's life speaks loudly, because we loved his smile and we loved who he was. And so we live in this time where you don't want to underestimate what God wants to still do through you in the life of this church, in the life of serving him. And I love what Peter points out here. Do you realize that Peter was filled with the Spirit when he preached his sermon in Acts? God used him mightily. I mean, here we know Peter's difficulties and challenges and the things that went wrong in Peter's life, but very eager, even if all forsake you, I will not, says Peter to Jesus. And we recognize that Jesus knew what was in Peter. Jesus knew that Peter would fail him. Jesus essentially prophesied that that would happen. And so it is with all prophecy in the Word of God. If God says it's going to happen, you take it to the bank. God is faithful to his Word. Every prophetic point in the Scripture is going to be fulfilled. We just happen to be living in a time right now where it's kind of be like, I mean, as things get difficult and you see places like Hawaii, you know, these earthquakes and things that get our attention. And somebody said to me this morning, do you realize that California is trying to outlaw the Bible because it encroaches on people's immoral behavior? You know, people can try to push away God and push away the Bible and try to deny it, and it's just another book, and why should you let it be authoritative in your life? Because God loves you and Jesus Christ died for you, and he has the right to give instructions that we need. And as we take in those instructions, as we understand them, we can be able ministers for him in a day that is pretty dark. That's why Peter, when he says here, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Another translation says sober. I mean, it's just really easy to watch Christians in the American culture to become, they are not soberly minded about the times that we're living in. And then they don't pray as they ought to. And see, I believe with the Spirit of God operating in our lives, we become more watchful and prayerful. I wanted to preach a message on the book of Galatians. I really did. And I felt that, no, I need to heed what I sense is what God wants to remind me of at this time in the life of our church. I realize that this church is way more than just about programs. It's about people. It's about people who matter to God. It's about people who yet come into our church. You can know that God is at work and he wants to use the gifts that he's put in you for effective service in a local body like this. And see, this stuff goes deeper because in the body of Christ, there can be times where we're like, they looked at me the wrong way. Or they said the wrong thing to me. And Peter says here, above all things, have fervent love for one another. You know, God loves you, right? This idea that we all love the grace of God. I want in on that. But do you realize that within the body of Christ, there's going to come times where you're going to have to be real long-suffering with other believers in your local fellowship. You're going to have to just be patient because they're not going to do what you want them to do. You know, I could rely upon them and somehow it doesn't happen. And so we need to be long-suffering. And Paul says, accept those who are weak in the faith. Accept him who's weak. You know, we're not here to lord it over people and make ministry like we're just pushing for a program. We're just pushing for a program. Yeah, I want souls saved. I want people knowing Jesus, but I want this church to be filled with able ministers that as you minister to your loved ones, your family, that God is working in you, no matter what your situation might be right now. That the Spirit of God is at work in you because he made a guarantee of a deposit and he's put a gift in you that needs to be developed. We're going to talk a little bit about that at the meeting, that there's a spiritual gifts inventory. Now, I know God obviously can work outside of a spiritual gifts inventory, but that's a way for you to kind of take a survey. It'll be an online survey that it will be on the handout. Maybe sometime this week you should take that and say, you know, I need to kind of ascertain what my spiritual gifting is. Some people really don't know what their gift is, therefore they don't employ it. And so we want to make sure that we're being used by God. I love what Peter says here. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, the very utterances of God. You know, I love it when somebody tells me, they remind me what's in the scripture. You're telling me what I need to know. You're reminding me of who I am. We talk about the washing of the Word of God in this church. You know what the washing of the Word of God is? It's reminding you who you are already in Jesus. You're washing your mind. You're giving yourself a good cleansing every day because there's times where the filth of the world is going to come at you. Your own conscience is going to accuse you. But the blood of Christ, the Bible says, cleanses even your evil conscience. And so the language of the believer should be all that God says you are in Jesus Christ. And as you employ those scriptural truths into your life, you will be more of an able minister to serve the Lord. If anyone ministers, Peter says, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. See, God supplies the believer with the ability that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Anybody ever show up on a Black Friday at noontime for the 5 a.m. doorbuster? It doesn't work. They're gone. Yeah, I'll just get there. You know, I want that new thing. It's a new hot item. And you get there and it's gone. I sometimes think that's how believers live. They don't get in on the good stuff while they can. And that's why Peter would say, but the end of all things is at hand. Do you realize that it's the thinking of the New Testament writers that cause us to be alert of the remaining aspect of God's revelation to be unfolded? We are in this wonderful period called the church age, where Jew or Gentile places faith in Jesus right now. Wherever you are in this world, in range of this microphone or my voice, you place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust him as the only atoning sacrifice for your sin. You are immediately placed into the body of Christ. The Bible calls it a spirit. You're baptized by his spirit into that family. It's a living organism. Now we see places like this called the local church, and we say, oh yeah, there's physical representation of believers in that building. But a greater work already occurred for you. A church didn't make you. Coming into a church didn't put you in the real body of Christ. Jesus did that. You find a place to grow and to develop and to actually nurture your faith and to learn to really understand God's word as it's rightly taught, so that you're not mixed up and you're not put in things where they don't belong, and you're prepared to be an able minister. This is a wonderful time to be alive on planet Earth. I was reading an article regarding what's going on in Europe with the French leader, Emmanuel, I can't think of his last name. Some of you, Mark, yeah, there you go. Thank you, you French-speaking people. But some of the latest organization that's underway under him with a 10 Confederate nation, and you look at some of the prophetic developments in the world today, there are many people believe that the stage is really set for the Antichrist. But those of us who know Jesus Christ, we are safe and secure. I don't know what's going to settle the political tension in this world. I don't know if it's ever going to get better. I know many of you I've talked to, you're concerned too. You're equally concerned with where's America going and what's next for America. You know what? Thank the Lord that he's got this figured out. Thank God that he's got this figured out. He knows what's coming, but he knows for the believer, that's what matters most. That as you are in Christ, you now have opportunity to serve while you have time. Because Peter says, if you were to read even Paul's letters, Paul would say, in Paul's course, he's writing, you know, shortly after the Lord Jesus is resurrected. Some of Paul's letters go back to A.D. 59, A.D. 61, A.D. 62. And Paul would speak about, you know, in the last days, difficult times will come. I believe since Jesus Christ went back and resurrected, we've been in difficult times. The world has always been in difficult times. But we also can be alert of the signs of the times. And never in the history of the world, never have we had the amount of technology that is in place to make room for a world leader. You really need to pay attention. And that's why you need to kind of, as Jesus talked to those Pharisees and Sadducees who weren't listening to him, he's like, yeah, you look at the sky, you know how to discern the sky, but you do not know how to discern the signs of the times. And Messiah was right in front of their face, and they missed him. They denied him. So God is building his church right now. And every believer can be part of that building. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. And as I had shared a little bit on Harry's life last week, where we were talking about whether we're absent or present, whether we're in this body or not, we want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Really, every believer is pleasing to the Lord in one sense, is that they're right with God through Jesus Christ. But because of that, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. See, a lot of people look at this and they say, well, see, I could be weighed on my works and I may wind up going to hell. Well, that's not what this is saying here. Every believer will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Every person who's placed faith in Jesus will stand before the Lord and at that judgment and will be rewarded or loss of reward, rewarded for faithful service and faithful administration, faithfully administering the gifts that God has placed in you. See, that's what happens when the believer comes to know Jesus, is that you get a completely new life, and that new life will never, ever be taken away from you. It was given to you as a gift. The Bible says in Romans, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God does not pull back the gift that he's given. However, he does give you a stewardship to manage. And Paul would say stewards must be found faithful. That's what you want to be. You want to be a faithful steward to what God has given you to do. And so I know that as we think about the days to come and in our church, and you realize that we had a ton of people in here on Wednesday, and realizing that people are hungry. Many people don't have a solid local church. Some people go to church and they don't really want to be there. I have not sensed that here. I see people coming in here happily, and I'm grateful to God for what he's doing in this ministry. This is why Paul would say at the end of that section in 2 Corinthians 5, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your consciences. See, Paul was, he humbled himself before these Corinthians. He opened his life up to them. And that's what a minister really should do in many ways, is that as I open up my life to you, it's because I want you guys to see the real deal. I want all of the ministry that happens at this church to be a blessing to every person who comes into this church. Every person. I don't care if they only come in here one time. I want them to be blessed. But I also want them, more importantly, to know Jesus. To know that they can know him. To know that they can be forgiven. To know that he already supplied a full payment with his own precious blood. And he said, whoever will take this payment, it's yours. Wow. I mean, if I came out today, I'm like, hey, I got $1 million briefcases. Who wants one? They're full of $1 million. They're full stacked with $100 bills, $1 million. And I say, they're for the taking. I guarantee you, I would hope, most of them would evaporate, right? All you have to do is take the gift. And that essentially is what salvation is. You are taking a full payment. And now you're learning how to give that payment out to other people. You're offering it to others. I want our church to grow, but I also want our church to be able to minister one to another, to know the needs that are here, to not be ignorant that Satan wants to divide and destroy. He doesn't like the work of ministry. He wants to discourage. I've been amazed that over these last couple of weeks of some of the things that seem to be, we were going in a certain direction, and all of a sudden it's like things can get quickly halted. We got to adjust. And that's okay. As long as ministry continues to move forward from that church, no matter what the circumstances are. So as we talk today about people who may need meals in the next few weeks, people in our church who are going to need loving care, people who are going to be recovering from illnesses, this is an opportunity for our church to say, what can I do? How can I minister? Do you realize that when your neighbors hear about your church, they're curious? It happens. Most people don't understand the work of the church. See, Peter says, we're not lording it over him. We're doing this voluntarily. I do what we do because I love Jesus. It's not because I'm trying to earn my way to heaven. That was already settled. That's why you and I can serve with the full capacity of the grace of God, operating freely in our lives, so that when you serve somebody, you do it out of love. You're not doing it out of some duty or obligation, but because you're doing it because God supplied you that gift to serve. And I pray that you'll look for more of those opportunities. I pray that our church will continue to look for more opportunities to be exactly where God wants us with the needs that he's put in this place at this hour. And I think Susan was a testimony of how this church ministered to her in her hour of need. And I praise God for that. I praise God for you, Grace Lighthouse Fellowship. I praise God for what he's doing in you. I pray that you will continue to trust him, that you will employ the spiritual gift that he's put in you. Most importantly, if you are in Christ, you have a spiritual gift. Now it's time to employ it, and let's use it for God's glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have in knowing you, in serving you, to be the ambassadors that you called us to be. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord, in our lives. I pray that you'll continue to lead us as a church, that we would be a church that cares so much about Jesus, that we want people to know him and love him. We want people to know this magnificent love that he poured out for them. We thank you that he is the chief example of love and sacrifice, of giving up his own life's blood so that he could purchase back sinners from a place of just being so utterly hopeless. But with him, there's total hope. There is total opportunity for us to be with Christ forever and ever. And you are going to make all things new. And we thank you for the promise. We thank you for the prophetic promises in the Word of God. We thank you that when we say goodbye to a loved one, it's not it. That believer's with the Lord. And for that, we say thank you. But as Paul says here, we persuade men. We know the terror of the Lord. Lord, you love us and you don't want anyone to miss this. Make our church a more alert of the times that we're living in so that we could maximize the giftedness that you've put into each and every one of us for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name.